If she calls, y'all let her know where I'm at. I'm here. I'd ask you, if you would, to turn to Genesis chapter 45. And I appreciate the preaching. Amen. I've encouraged my heart. And I do appreciate the love of God. And I appreciate the fellowship with you preachers and you folk we get to see from time to time. It's an honor for us to be here. And I appreciate the opportunity to preach, and we'll be brief this morning. But I want to preach on a thought that I believe we've long forgotten in our day. And I was afraid that I'd be called after Brother Vermin. It seems to always go that way. And somebody done shuck the corn, and you have to be the next one to get up. But I do appreciate the power of God. I appreciate the love of God. And if you stand with me, I want to read just about four verses in Genesis 45. I want to preach on the thought of forgiveness, if I can, this morning. I believe it's a very misunderstood teaching and doctrine of the Bible today. I think we preach a lot about forgiving, but in our heart, we really don't forgive. Amen. We'll carry around grudges for years. But let me read these verses, and I'll preach to you what the Lord's laid on the heart. Then Joseph, in verse 1, says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near. And he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life.'" You can be seated. Thank you for reverencing God's word. But I want to preach just for a few minutes on the thought of forgiveness. Amen. There's something in our life, in our vocabulary. A lot of times we hear from pulpits how we got to forgive one another. Amen. And I believe that's something that a Christian ought to do. But I tell you, it's one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. Amen. Learning how to forgive is something that still I war with every day. And there's things, there's people, there's places, there's times and things in life that I face where I've carried around bitterness in my heart, and it's hindered me in my walk for God. But let me tell you some things that forgiveness is not, just in case you think you've forgiven somebody. Amen. And forgiveness is not saying I forgive you and then going to tell somebody else about the problem. Amen. And that's not saying, brother, I forgive you, and then going to spread it down the road. And that's not forgiveness. Amen. Forgiveness is not saying I forgive you and not bearing the hatchet. Amen. And leaving the handle up out of the ground and going bringing it back up years down the road. Has something be right for 2 or 3 years and all of a sudden something goes wrong and we want to go drag them bones back up out of the valley of dry bones and say, look what you done years ago. Friend, today forgiveness is not saying I forgive you and then using it for blackmail over your neighbor. Amen. Forgiveness is something that we really have a misunderstanding about. Forgiveness is not saying, brother, I forgive you, and then walking by somebody, not speaking to them after you say you've forgiven them. Forgiveness, amen, will teach you to shake hands. Forgiveness will not make you walk across the street to avoid talking to somebody or seeing them in Walmart and you're going to go down that aisle, but you see them and you go around the next one. That's not forgiveness. There's a problem there, amen. Forgiveness is not saying I forgive you and still carrying that bitter spirit in your heart and running that person down every time somebody else does. Forgiveness is learning how to open your heart and understanding if you don't forgive, you're denying the spirit in which this gospel was written to us. The spirit of this gospel today has been written to us in a spirit of forgiveness. If it was not, would none of us be saved? Amen. The Lord told us that he'd forgive us. Say, I don't believe it. On the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The gospel was written with a forgiving attitude that the Lord had toward us. The God of love, why he loved us, why he forgave us, I do not know. But I will take it, amen. I'm not going to turn it away. But if you do not forgive somebody, you're soon to lose the joy that God's put in your heart. So you can't walk around and forget, saying, I forgive, and really in your heart not doing it. Because if you walk around, preachers, let me tell you something. There's nothing that hurts you more than a church member that has an ought with you and you have an ought with them. There's nothing going to hinder our ministry more than not being able to forgive that church member. We think that we're the only one that matters. We think that we're the only one that cares. But if we do not forgive, friend, today, sooner or later, it's going to hinder our fellowship with God.
Amen.
Amen. But friend, if you do not forgive, you also lack evidence that you're a child of God. Amen. That's a confirmation of faith. You being able to forgive your neighbor just as God has forgiven you. Friend, it's a confirmation of faith. You know you've passed from death into life because you love the brethren. And we got to have God's love, the unconditional love, in our heart toward one another. But see, if we also do not forgive, that also this morning disqualifies us from ever being forgiven. Well, that'll help our heart. That's what the Bible says. You read Matthew chapter 6. Right after the Lord teaches us how to pray, He says, if you don't forgive your brother or your neighbor about the trespasses against you, your Father will not forgive you.
Amen.
So the Bible pretty much tells me, if we cannot forgive and forget, there's no need of you carrying your things to God, saying, God, forgive me, when you got an ought against your brother. You cannot and will not ever have the power of God, find the will of God with a bitter spirit, with a grudge, with anger, with strife and tension inside our hearts. And it ain't hard to do. We lost a daughter back in December. Most of you know the story. And but friend, today, hey, just a couple months ago, I was in the hospital and seen the very doctor in which I was looking over my wife. And with everything in me, I wanted to wring his neck. Because that was what was in my heart. And to be honest with you, I still wore that from time to time. I still have issues with that problem. And I have friend today, and we're all going to have issues with it. But the thing is, being able how to get over it and to press on and walk on, saying, God, forgive me. Teach me how to forgive. To exemplify the teachings that Christ gave. If Christ, everybody says we want to be Christ-like Christians, we're Christians, we're Christians. If you ain't forgiven, you're not a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. A Christian is an adjective. I believe that describes a child of God to be Christ-like. Just because you're saved doesn't make you a good Christian.
Right.
Forgiveness, teaching others. It doesn't do us any good to declare this truth and to defend this truth if we're not demonstrating what this Bible has taught us. But there's not one of us here that's been in the position of Joseph. And I want to look at just a couple of things. The forsaking of Joseph. You can go back to chapter number 37 if you would. And I'll be very brief. And the forsaking of Joseph. Joseph was sold out. He was forsaken. At number one, because of his conduct. You read verse number 2. He wouldn't do what his brothers wanted to do. Said he went and told his father of their evil report. Joseph was forsaken simply because he wanted to do what was right. Amen. He didn't want to partake in anything else. And secondly, they forsook Joseph, his brothers, because Jacob had given him a coat of many colors, signifying that Joseph was going to be over the family affairs. I work part-time at a funeral home, and you want me to tell you one of the biggest issues in America today? Grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle can't even get in the ground, can't even get coal good before they're fighting over the wheel. Wanting to know who's the administrator of the wheel. Who's in charge of the family affairs. And you talking about hardships. And we've had to call the law to the funeral home because they're fussing over who's in charge. If your only desire to be around your great-grandma and your great-grandpa is to see what you get out of the wheel, bless God, I hope she don't give you a blessed dime. I preached Sunday morning about some. Hey, you might. I don't know who preached the other day. Said y'all just give everything away, so you don't have to worry about their problem. My pastor, amen. He's my grandpa, and he started giving everything away. I said, what you got? I ain't got nothing yet. Key word being, he bought me some books the other day. I'm happy for it.
And but let me tell you, he's got to study with a bunch of other books and a bunch of other things that I ain't got to worry about the rest of the family wanting. So that I'll get. Unless that changes somewhere in between. But they forsook him because of his coat. Hey, they got mad because Jacob thought that Joseph, hey, a young, hey, he was 17. He was a young fella. And hey, that's one thing for an old preacher to tell you how to live. But it's another thing to get a young preacher to tell you how to live.
Amen.
They'll resent the young preacher. I ain't listening to him. Who do you think he is? You ever been forsaken just by trying to do right?
Sure.
And you're trying to forgive? That's a hard thing. But then they got mad at him because of his closeness to God. He said, fellas, let me tell you, I had a dream. Let me show you what God showed me. See, then they got mad and said, well, we'll see. Let's hear, behold, the dreamer cometh. So we'll throw him in the pit and see what becomes of his dreams then. See, there's a lot of people forsaking you because you got something, you got ambition to be with God. You got a desire to be with God. They're forsaking you. There's things. And when you see them, when all you try to do is live right and people are still pushing you to the wayside, hey, that declare, hey, that'll make something swell up inside of you that ain't God-like. When all you trying to do deep down is to live for God, to live right in everything you do, everybody's got a problem with it. Forsaken. Boy, that hurts. I mean, when family says, hey, he'll never make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I first started preaching, then they had video cameras snapping pictures. The old preacher told me one time, he said, you ever stick with this gospel, all that's going to fall out.
Amen.
About less than a month, Brother Brian, I thought I'd done something wrong.
Yeah.
Began to fade away. But then they had a for sale sign on him. They had a for sale sign on him. You read on through that chapter 37, there was a for sale sign on Joseph. They stripped him of his coat. They ganged up on him, said, we're going to strip him of his righteousness. Strip him. This world would rather strip you of the things of God in your life. You're the testimony you have. They want to strip everything. Hey, and do you understand the Bible says in Proverbs 29:7, the upright are an abomination to the evil. The upright people, the world hates us, as a preacher just plainly told us. The world despises us as Christians. They don't understand. And it's so hard to learn how to forgive over those that's trying to sell you out.
Right.
Trying to strip you. Then they shoved him around. They shoved him in the pit. Hey, they deprived him of his righteousness. They deprived him of the necessities of life. Say, what do you mean? You read that around verse 24, 25. It said after they shoved him in the pit, guess what they sat down to do? Eat.
Yeah.
Boy, ain't that something. When you're struggling in life and you just trying to live right, and hey, you see your brothers and those others in the that say they love you, and they over here eating well, and the whole time they've shoved you away and told you we want no part of you. But at the same time, they can go over here and break bread one with another. You'll go to your grave with that in your heart. Spiritual, I ain't forgiving nobody. You'll go to your grave. Hide the will of God. Break bread with brethren and say, hey, we got our West Baptist camp meeting, a fellowship here, and we can't a fellowship with the church down the road. Now, I ain't saying those that cause division and that ain't right, the false prophets, but them, friend, we can't jump on them, those that don't eat meat and some that eat herbs. We can't argue about that just because they don't agree with everything we believe. Now, understanding, I can deal with some minor issues, but I ain't getting away from the blood and the book and the virgin birth. All I'm staying with the stuff. But friend, today we've lost a lot of things. And friend, let me ask you, is the blessings of God really on us anymore? Is the power of God really on us anymore? And that's not, we're breaking bread over here and failing the fellowship with this and over here. There's something in our heart. We've put it for sale. That's what's wrong with the church. Hey, we ain't seeing people saved anymore. You know why? Because they're not seeing a forgiving spirit in the local church house. Amen. They're seeing preachers bust. They're seeing Sunday school teachers fight. Everything going on in the church. Friend, where do we draw the line?
Amen.
There's a for sale sign on the church. There's a for sale sign. We try and deprive one another just the necessities of life. I told my church the other day, it doesn't bother me one bit. I don't have a bunch of money. I ain't got everything. I ain't going to go into my store. But I said, it don't bother me at all to see y'all drive up in nice vehicles. Amen. None whatsoever. It don't bother me whatsoever. I'm glad when we see our church people. It bothers me when they get more than what they can put in the offering plate. It's the reason we can't get people to support missionaries, because they're supporting fees and Discover. They're going all over the world. Amen. Can I say, while I'm on that thought, there's no reason whatsoever that a child of God should ever file bankruptcy. If you're living for God, living right, tithing right, your God will teach you how to manage your finances. He'll teach you how to balance a checkbook. He'll teach you how to not go in debt. You'll live right according to God. Amen. Amen. Then they sold him out. They wanted to deport his righteousness. This wicked will do everything they can to get rid of who we are and what you are. But then I wanted to steal on this thought of forgiveness just for a minute. I'd read our text. Before we ever try to go to God with everything that we want, we might all try to get some things out of our heart. Right. Notice the person who made the first step. It wasn't his brethren.
No.
It was Joseph.
That's right.
The one who hadn't done not one thing.
Right.
Live right. Wanted to live like mom and daddy said live. Wanted to be true to God. Got sold out, lied about. But yet his brethren had a famine in the land. While I'm on this, let me tell you something. Don't ever say you ain't going to forgive somebody.
That's right.
Don't ever say you ain't going to need. So it'll be a cold day and wherever before I call on them. That's what Joseph's brothers thought. When there was a famine in the land, and the very one they lied, despised about, not knowing it was Joseph, they had to go back to him. Boy, that's bad. Boy, that'll help our pride. That tears our flesh up to have to go back to the one we said we'll never call on. Amen, preacher. There's times that the person who's going to make the first step may not be the one that was in the wrong. All that does is test your character. Test who you are. There's times me and my brother, I just go at it. I mean, God, now I'm a grown man. We'll still go at it. Because he does some ignorant stuff. And I just want to jump on him and just hit him with a ton of bricks. And we'll go fussing and fighting. But 9 times out of 10, the first person that's going to make the first step is me. I said, look, I was wrong. But then there's times when I've made the first step that I wasn't wrong. But it was just a test of character. See, Joseph, man. See, the thing is, Joseph said, I'll take this first step. You're saying, what he said? Christ, you didn't get forgiven because you went to God. God came to you. He went to seeking and to save that which was lost. You didn't go running up high trying to find God. God came to you. When you needed forgiveness. Friend, the day, he could have sit high up on his throne and said, you ain't worth forgiving. But yet, anyhow, he left the portals of glory to come to where we at. Have a die on the cross to show you that he's willing to forgive us.
Amen.
If we're going to exemplify the teachings of Christ, we may all have to take that first step toward our brother to say, forgive me.
That's right.
I just want to let you know there's nothing between us.
Amen.
There's no doubt in my heart. Lay it on them. You clear your heart to make sure everything's right with you. Lay it on them. That's like reaping hot coals upon their head. Well, amen. Yes, sir. But then the passion in which he did it. Notice verse number 2. It said, and he wept aloud. The passion in which he went to his brothers. When's the last time you went to somebody and said, I'm really sorry? You felt it when you didn't just say it with your lips, but you said it with your heart.
Right.
Working at the funeral home, I watch a lot of these judge shows in the afternoons.
Yeah.
And Them people, now I know some of y'all don't watch TV at all and things of that nature. Y'all'd rather watch The Bachelor and all these other bachelorettes and teach the youngins how to live perverted lifestyles and do all this. But watching the judge, and there's about as much of that on the judge show, but every once in a while, when them judges will get irate and them people say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's a sarcastic and unmeaningful. There's times as a child, my mama and daddy'd make me say, tell your brother you're sorry. Sorry. And if I didn't do it right the first time, it got to where. Come near to me. Some of you got family members here that will not ever be a Christian because you won't forgive them. Because you can't forgive them. And you talk about, come visit the church. And there's things in your family that's keeping y'all from holding hands at the dinner table and saying, God bless our home.
Yeah.
Where's the passion in our life went? Where's the passion? You say, preacher, that ain't scriptural. Why do you think Christ on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yeah. Father, forgive them. I don't believe those were, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. Those were cries from his gut, from his bowels of mercy, his long suffering. That said, Father, forgive him. His passion. The passion. I know it ain't one of these messages going to jump pews, but we ain't real. I had no business jumping pews if we got all against our brethren. Amen, preacher. Amen. Joseph said, I am your brother. Verse 14 and 15 said, and he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after his brethren talked with him. Not only the forgiveness of Joseph, you've seen the person that moved toward the brethren. You've seen the passion that he cried, forgive me, and let you know there's no ought between us. But yet there's a peace that came in that family because Joseph took the initiative to say, hey, I'm your brother. He could have said, I'm still governor. I'm ruler over a lot of things. He said, I'm your brother. Help us not say, I'm pastor of so-and-so Baptist church, and just walk by our neighbor. Forget where we came from. Forget it. A lot of preachers forget about struggling. Living by faith is something we don't do anymore. We'll get up and sing that song, Living by Faith. We're hypocrites a lot of times.
Right.
We ain't living by faith. Right. We'll forget that little old preacher or that missionary who's a struggling to make ends meet, and we're sitting fat on our salaries, and not me. Don't say our. I'm not included in that fat salary part. But we'll get to that place of not meaning for God. And that peace, we'll know what's wrong with most of our churches. There's no forgiveness in it. Kick them out. Sure, I agree with taking stands in the church. But friend, today, what if God kicks us out every time we sin?
Yeah.
What if he said, no, I ain't forgiving you. That's the last time. You had the family of God. But there's a peace. He said he wept on his brother's neck. And then his brothers talked with him. You read chapter number 50 for the sake of time. I'm not going to go there. The end of the chapter. Jacob dies. And then Jacob's brothers, Joseph's brothers, come back to him. And they begin to talk, saying, perhaps Joseph is going to do evil against us because of what we've done. But when they come to Joseph and said, I'm sorry, Joseph said, bring you and your children, and I'll comfort you and supply everything you need.
Amen.
Friend, the day you want to say, preacher, I don't agree with all that, it doesn't make a difference. You don't agree with the Bible. Peace. See, God gives fully. He gives wholeheartedly. Let me give you these verses and I'm done. Matthew chapter 5, it says, therefore, if thou bring their gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer the gift. You can shout all you want to. And I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what goes on at your place. My friend, today, if you're shouting,
You're shouting with what's in you, your flesh, and not what God's given you, if you cannot forgive. So when you come to bring an offering to God, he said, you know there's a brother got all to you, go to him. I preached this message Sunday in our church, and I'm not saying this to make a mockery of none of our church members. I preached and said, if you've got an altar against somebody, you need to go to them here. I don't know how to give them an invitation to this message, and I ain't going to do it today, but it's up to Brother Melvin. But I sat in our church, and there was a young lady that walked down that aisle, and I was expecting the people to start doing this, going to this and that one, this and that one. Brother Brian, it's something else when they walk down that aisle to you and wrap their arms around your neck and say, I've had resentment towards you. Oh, you the preacher. But in my heart, I had to forgive them, not knowing the whole time there's been a problem. But I had to say, hey, whatever it is, don't let it hinder us in God. Amen. Forgiveness and forgetting. We got to let bygones be bygones. Nothing we can do to change the past.
Amen.
And we can make a world of difference in what we do with our future. Amen. Appreciate the time.
Amen.